Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the day, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. And today is no different. Today, we're going to talk about turning struggles into strengths. Now, so often when we face things as families, we tend to focus on the negative. We focus on the things that are going wrong. We focus on the resources we don't have, whether that be financial resources or personality strengths that we may or may not have, or family that we have to help us get it through. We focus on all of the detriments, all of the deficits. But today I'm going to help you to focus on the strengths and take what we call a strengths-based approach, because so often we overlook those strengths, the things that God has blessed us with, the ways that He has equipped us to lead our families through hard times, and focusing on those strengths, leading from those, leaning into those, it can really reframe your perspective. So I'm going to have a teaching show with you today where I teach you some of the things that I have learned in leading my own family through that, just journeying towards resilience, towards hope, and the strength that lies within us all. And we are all going to face difficult things in this world. We're going to face trials and tragedies and traumas. As much as we wish that we could put our families in a bubble and just have a happy time all the time and never face anything difficult, that is not the reality of the broken world that we live in. And often as families, we may feel guilt about the particular trial, trauma, or tragedy that our family is going through, thinking, oh, well, you know, this is going to impact my marriage. This is going to impact my kids. And, you know, it seems worse than what our friends are going through or what another family we know is going through. And you so don't want it to harm your family's soul, to harm their spirit, to harm, you know, the peace that's in your home. But there are things that are going to happen in this world. We will have trouble, but we can take heart because God has overcome the world. I say that verse all the time. It comes to you from John 16:33 to be precise. And if you read back through that chapter in John 16, you see that Jesus is preparing his disciples for living in a world that he knows the hardship ahead. But Jesus also knew firsthand the hope that was before him. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. That is the hope to which we are called, so that in this world, whatever we face, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, for who are called according to his purpose. And it can't seem like that, but another verse that I quote a lot is from Psalm 84:11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. These are rich spiritual truths that we can give to our family. And we can think, why does God let bad things happen to good people? Why does God let good things happen to people who don't deserve it? We know that the simplified truth, and of course, these are things that we wrestle with and that we will work out with fear and trembling in our faith for until we go to eternity. But the simple truth is that we live in a broken world. But God, in his love for us, he demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us so that we could have the hope of eternal life. So whatever challenging season that you are facing, if it's your marriage, if it's financial hardship, if it's just the weight of parenting, if it's personal battles, if it's extended family conflict, we have all encountered tough times. And we all see on the news headlines that grip our communities, tragedies that happen, whether it's natural disaster like fire, whether it's violence in a school or in a community, whatever it is, whether that's an individual family or community experiencing trials as a whole. What if I told you that those very struggles could become stepping stones to build strength, to find strength in Christ? Because it is through our weaknesses that His strength is made perfect. And not just as individuals, but as families. I know it sounds easier said than done. And it is very true that life does not always hand us an easy path. And some of us have a much harder time than others. And that can be hard too, because people who maybe look at their struggles and think they're not as difficult as those struggles. And then I feel bad about myself, because why can't I just get it together? It's not like I'm going through something that my friend or my family member is going through. And then all of a sudden you're in this vicious cycle of discouragement and negative self-talk. But the truth is, struggles don't just break us. They shape us. They strengthen us. They teach us lessons that cannot be learned in comfort. And looking at trees, how trees get their roots, they get their roots by being stressed by the wind blowing against them. That makes their roots grow deeper. It makes them hold on stronger. And there are so many things that we look back on. There are things I look back on in my own life that for a while I think, I wish that hadn't happened to me. I wish I hadn't experienced that. I wish I hadn't had that kind of family brokenness. But you know, I know that God has written my story in just the way that He has designed. And if I can trust Him in that, then I can see that He uses my pain for a purpose, and He can do the same thing with yours. So don't shy away from those tough conversations that surround trials and tragedies and traumas. There are questions that will be asked by yourself, by your family members, by your children that you think, I don't know how to answer those, but God is big enough to answer those. And I have already said my favorite phrase in the history of ever, but God, so many times in this program, that is the story of this message to you. But God sees you. He can change things. And when we face those trials, we can often discover new layers of grace within ourselves, with those we love. We learn things about God that we didn't know before. It is so easy to feel overwhelmed when things aren't going your way. But remember, it sounds so cliche, but sometimes He calms the storm. And sometimes He calms His children in the storm. And we think about Jesus in the boat and how He was sleeping in the middle of a storm because He knew who could calm the winds and waves. And the truth is, your family is likely stronger than you realize. And you can turn those struggles into strengths no matter what you are facing today, no matter what kind of challenge you're facing today. And so I want to talk about that. And let's talk about, I'll give you some tools that are grounded in faith, some in developmental science, to foster resilience through that hope and healing. And let me tell you, when kids face something that is difficult, we need to be so intentional in talking to them. In a world that is saturated by screens, one of the things that I see primarily shaping kids' response to stress is their parents' engagement with a screen. Now, this is really convicting. It's convicting for me too. But so often when we hear bad news, one of the things that we do is we want more news to make us feel like we're more in control. So we start to consume that news from the greatest source available to us. Now, a lot of times that's going to be from your neighborhood social media page. That may be from local news that you follow. It may be from school accounts. It may be texting other parents, talking to other family members, and maybe just playing the news. But kids start to watch us consume this information. Then they watch our emotional response to it, because our response is what dictates their parameters of safety. How we respond to something negative that happens tells them if they're safe or not. And that is something that we have to steward. That is a response we have to ask God to help us with. And I'm not saying just to pretend everything is perfect, but when we start scrolling endlessly through the news and let those headlines, let those narratives wash over our family, we lose control of the narrative, and they are just taking their cues from whatever is played over their heads. Now, sometimes we tell ourselves, oh, our kids don't really know about this. They're not really paying attention. Kids are developmentally wired to pay attention. Now, I know it doesn't seem like that because sometimes they have selective hearing. They don't hear us to pick up their laundry or clean their rooms. But if they hear us talking to Aunt Jane about something scary that happened at school, you can bet they are listening to every single word of that. So we need to be really cognizant of that, making sure that we are not just talking about the things that happen, but we are talking to our children about them. Now that can happen. What if you're having trouble at church and every Sunday you come home and you're just talking about all of the things that are going wrong there, but you're not talking to your kids about that? What if you're going through a divorce and your kids hear you talking to your sister, talking to your lawyer, talking to everyone but them? We need to make sure that we shield kids from unnecessary details, making sure that we're meeting them where they are, giving them information in a way that's developmentally appropriate, but also answers their questions and talks straight to them, opening that door, telling them, you can always come and talk to me about anything, whatever that is, whether it's a parent's illness, whether it's a family situation that's stressful, if it's financial problems. You need to make sure, how are you talking about this to your kids? They know, they perceive your interactions, and they start to modify their behavior accordingly. If they know you're stressed about money, they're not going to ask for what they need. They may just try to keep that request hidden. I'll make do with what I have. And you don't know about that. That can always be hard to come out later when we realize that they've been carrying this burden. When kids hear these things that are stressful, they have a stress response. They do. Now, stress in its of itself is healthy. There is short-term stress that builds resilience. So if we are preparing for a public speech, that can be stressful. If we have a project that's due, that can be stressful. If you have a game that is really high stakes, but you're really engaged and you enjoy it, those are examples of short-term stress that teach us how to modify our behavior and then go on and be successful. Those are good things. Now, toxic stress is that prolonged activation of the stress response system without any support. So it is this faucet that turns on in their brain of that stress response, and there's no relief from it. There's no intervention there. Now, here's the thing. The amazing thing is that interventions actually are very, very simple. So if you want to convert what could be toxic stress into healthy stress, all you need is to give them a moment to turn off that faucet of chemicals, give them a moment to think in a way that is clear, and give them that counteracting brain chemicals. We want them to have dopamine. We want them to have oxytocin. And you know how those things are generated? Listen, it's through just eye-to-eye contact, making eye contact when you're talking with them. It's about sitting down next to them, putting your arm around them, giving them a hug, listening to them, enjoying some activity together, reading a book together, something that calms and quiets that stress response. That is really important. Those are ways that make a built-in healthy stress response. And those are the literal building blocks of resilience for the future. You're teaching them healthy coping mechanisms no matter what goes on. And that has a long-term impact on their brain development. We're talking about even the way their immune system functions, the way that their blood vessels react, and long-term health outcomes like blood pressure or other things that literally affect your physical health. So no matter what happens, you can be such a role of providing built-in moments of resilience that, hey, no matter how hard this looks, it's going to be okay. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about some of those specific strengths that God has built into families that you can leverage, that you can point out to your kids. Yeah, maybe this is hard what we're going through, but here are the ways that God has given us hope and healing during this time. Leaning into those, instead of trying to fix a situation you can't control, how do you lean into those strengths and take a strengths-based approach? We'll talk talk about that and more when we come back, and we'll help you to turn those struggles into strengths. I'll see you on the other side of this break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
When the rain you want is a flood instead, and the roses bloom, but they're not quite red. When I reach the edge of my bravery, I'll still be singing at the banks of an unparted sea. Sometimes the only way through it is a hallelujah.
Welcome back, friends. That is The Thing About Praise by Benjamin William Hastings. And sometimes, whatever you're going through, you may feel like all you have is a hallelujah. But you know what? Your praise is a weapon against the enemy. And sometimes just raising that, just that hallelujah, that acknowledgement that we need God, we can't do it all on our own. That is enough, and that is what you need to have. We're talking today about turning struggles into strengths. There are so many times that families will go through something really difficult, and you just focus on your weaknesses or your limitations. And so I'm going to talk to you today about taking a strengths-based approach, focusing on identifying and building those existing strengths that you already have in your family, and shift your perspective from being problem-centered to being solution-centered, and recognizing that we can't fix everything, we can't fix a broken world, but we can respond to our family, recognizing that God has gifted our family with very unique strengths that can be leveraged during challenging times, knowing that we are given the opportunity to help our family develop resilience and coping strategies. Now, I want to talk a little bit before I give you some specific strategies about recognizing behavioral signs of stress in children. When we're adults, we are very accustomed to talking about our stress. We do it at the water cooler, at work, we do it on social media, we do it texting with our support group, and we say, "I'm so stressed, this is what's happening," and we can verbalize that a little bit. Kids have trouble saying that they're stressed. And sometimes it's very difficult because when they start to say something that would indicate they have a stress, first of all, a lot of times they don't have the language to exactly articulate what they're feeling. And second of all, we start to shut them down really fast. If our kids are feeling stressed, that is a way for us as parents to feel guilty. And we're like, "Oh, please don't feel stressed, because that means I'm not doing a good job as a parent. That means this struggle that we're going through is impacting you. That makes me feel bad. I don't want to feel bad. I don't want you to feel bad, so can you just please not feel that way? It's no big deal. You'll be fine. We give them platitudes. We give them, you know, just like these little things that honestly, if we were texting our friends saying, I'm feeling so stressed about that, you don't expect them to say, you'll be fine. You're making a big deal out of nothing. Just get over it. We don't want our friends or family or support to say that, but that is what we say to kids. And that is a hypocrisy that we really need to acknowledge. We need to recognize that behavioral signs of stress in kids often come as things that don't automatically look like stress. The first thing that we see is change in mood. That can be maybe being irritable and just kind of fussy and just more sensitive. Or maybe it's sad that they're just a little more withdrawn, a little more quiet, or maybe they're just a little more easily angered. When we see those changes in mood, oftentimes we say, okay, what are you so sad about? Tell me right now so I can fix it immediately and then we can move past this. We don't sit in that feeling for a little bit. And that is what our kids need. They need to be seen. They need to be known. They need to feel loved. And sometimes we think, yes, well, I'm telling them I love them, but do they feel it? So watching for those early signs and recognizing, okay, I need to go have a conversation about this, not just ignoring it until it gets to a crisis point. Other behavioral signs would be withdrawal or isolating from family or social activities. Like, no, I don't want to play that game. Can I be excused from the table early? No, I think I don't want to go with y'all to that game tonight. I think I'll stay here and work on homework. And they're just by themselves more. You might see increased anxiety or worry, but here's the thing. Kids a lot of times don't have words for that. And when they start to process those emotions, it takes a toll on their physical body. This is called somatization. And that is where those anxieties, those worries, they come out as physical complaints. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not real. They're really real. It's the body's way of trying to give a signal. So that might be a headache. That might be a stomach ache. That might be saying, I just feel sore. I just don't feel right. They have those physical complaints. That can be a sign of stress. They might have regression to younger behaviors, like sucking their thumb again, or, you know, having problems with sleep, not going to sleep. They might have trouble concentrating or focusing. Maybe you get a call from their teacher, or if you're homeschooling, you see they're not paying attention. Changes in sleep pattern is one of the first things that happens too for most kids. Maybe they can't fall asleep. Maybe they wake up frequently. Maybe they're having nightmares or behavioral outbursts. It's important for us to recognize that these are normal physiological responses to stress. Now, it doesn't mean you just allow a free-for-all and just let them act any way that they want, but it makes us approach that with more compassion. And we can see differences between toddlers and school-age children and teens. Even infants who can't understand all of the words that are going on around them, they understand those emotions. So just looking at those, what we call acting different behaviors, is important. And when we see that stress, what we need to immediately do is take action to communicate to our kids that they are in a supportive environment. Provide that sense of emotional and physical safety. Hey, you are safe here. You are safe with me. You can talk to me about anything. Yes, I may be upset, but I love you no matter what. We'll work through it. That can be really important. Just acknowledging, naming, and claiming that experience is really important. And then starting to look at your strengths. That is really helpful when you start looking at that. What are the strengths that you have? So let me go through some strengths that some families have. And if this is you, when you have times of stress, lean into that strength and embrace it and realize that it's making a difference for your family. It's helping them cope. It's helping them function. It's helping them to build resilience. One of the best things that families can do when you're going through tough things is to have some sort of consistent routine. Now, this does not mean a legalistic schedule where you're doing everything the same every single day. find that moment where you can have a consistent routine. So if that's you, if that's your family, if you are going through something tough, but you have the nuclear family that's living together, you have the same wake-up time, you have the same person taking them to school, whatever it is, wherever that consistency is for you, are you able to be there to put them in bed? And I recognize that not every family is going to have every one of those things, but consistency is a building block for resilience. Consistency really helps to mitigate that stress response in the brain. So talking about that consistency and leaning into it, naming it something that it's your consistent time that you have. What is that family schedule? Is it eating together? Is it bedtime routine? Is it a family dinner hour? Is it a game night every Friday night? Even if other aspects of your life are total chaos, having that predictable routine provides stability. So here's how you can translate this to your family. Hey, I know that life seems really chaotic right now and things are really unpredictable, but I want you to know one thing that is consistent for us is this. This is our consistent thing, and I'm going to commit to do this. Whether that's speaking a blessing over them as they're going out to school, what is it? Where is it that you can show up in your kid's life every single day and have that? Whether it's 30 seconds, whether it's 30 minutes, just look at that consistency and celebrate it. Again, don't look at, okay, well, this is not consistent. You know, who picks them up or where they're going? We're in the middle of a divorce situation or, you know, our money is inconsistent. What is consistent in your life? One great thing that can be consistent that I really encourage you, especially if you're going through tough times, is church attendance. Getting plugged into a church, having those same people there, that same routine, that same faith-based environment where they're going to be supported, that, hey, life is tough, but you know what? We'll go to church on Sunday and we'll be surrounded by people who love us and we'll be encouraged and equipped for the week ahead. So it could be a weekly consistency thing. It could be daily. Where is it in your family that you have that consistency and how can you point that out to your family? Another thing that you may have as a strength is having open communication. It's just having, are you a family that you can talk? That, yeah, these are hard things to go through, but you know what? I am always here to talk about it. That can be really, really effective in helping to build resilience and helping to turn that struggle into a strength. Hey, we may be facing this struggle, but we know how to talk about it. I know every corner, every crevice of your heart. I know how you're feeling about it. I know how you're dealing with it. I can meet you in those points of need. It just fosters a healthy emotional expression. It reduces feelings of isolation and it builds trust. And trust is really important because we want to transfer that trust that our family has into trust in God, who will never leave us, who will never forsake us, who is consistent. So one thing that you can do, do you have family meetings to check in with each other? Do you have a Sunday night check-in? That's one of the habits that we've talked about in our 52 Habits for Healthy Family. Do you have open communication at dinner time? My family does this. We started this actually back when my kids were in preschool. They are now young adults and older teens, and it's so silly, but we still do it. It's the highs and the lows and the where did you goes and tell me about your day. And sometimes we say that with really sing-songy voices, and sometimes it's serious and sometimes it's silly, but it's just a little way to go around the table and say, okay, what was the best point of your day? What was the lowest point of your day? There's so much information that I can get from that as a spouse, as a mom, where I'm thinking, okay, it's been 5 days now and you're telling me you had no highs or lows, everything was just meh. Well, that tells me something really different than, hey, I had this really awesome day or I had this really terrible day, but it was only once. Where are those points of communication? Another great way to do that is tucking your kids into bed at night. And if you're not in the habit of doing that, that can feel really awkward at first, but just go, depending on your kid's age, just make sure that there's a space in their room where you can go and sit, whether that's a chair that you can pull up next to their bed, or whether that's at the end of their bed, or wherever it would be in their room that you can sit and just say, hey, I'd just like to pray for you. How can I pray for you? And you know, when our kids are being difficult and they are, you know, trying our patience, and then all of a sudden they come up and they're like, hi, mom. How are you doing? Can I do anything to help you? Your immediate response is suspicion. And our kids aren't any different. When we haven't been engaged and then we're all of a sudden engaged, they might think, okay, what's going on here? Is this some radio show that you listen to that you're going to try something once? Be consistent with that communication and just ask them. And if they say, no, there's nothing to pray for me for, that's okay, because you never know. A day, a week, a month down the road, they may come and say, you know, I want you to pray for this, and then be faithful to do it. So just having that open communication, telling them, you can always tell me anything, that's really important. It helps our kids to develop reasoning, because when they're younger, they have very concrete reasoning. They have trouble with abstract concepts. And so what seems obvious to us and thinking, well, yes, of course, this is what's going to happen, it's not obvious to them. So that helps them to develop that reasoning. How do we reason through things? Because we're talking through them. That is really, really important. Here's another thing that may be consistent for your family. Do you engage in physical activity together? Physical activity, whether that's walking together as a family, playing basketball, doing sports, pickleball, whatever it is, physical activity helps reduce anxiety. It reduces depression. It reduces stress. It improves mood. It helps you to regulate your emotions. So is that a strength that you can look at your family and say, you know what, we're going through this tough time together, but we are all doing this, whatever it is together, whether it's a family walk, if you have a dance party, it doesn't have to be intense. It doesn't have to be organized. Just even something light where you're playing together. That is a strength that you can lean into, and you can tell your family, hey, did you know that when we don't feel like walking, but we walk anyway, that really helps our anxiety. It's a good, healthy coping mechanism. I'm so glad to be doing that with you together. That is a strength that you can lean into, and that's really important to do. It is so hard to be consistent. I'll talk about a few more things when we come back from this break, talking about those ways for resilience. But we know there's a biblical foundation for resilience. Think about Isaiah 40, 31. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength and shall soar with wings like eagles. So we know that we can't renew our strength if we didn't have it to begin with. So thinking about those strengths-based approach is really important. Our kids need supportive relationships. They need that faith and spiritual grounding. They need access to predictable, consistent environments, and you can provide that. So think through, what are the strengths that your family has that you can really lean into and lean on? And when we come back, I'll tell you more ways that you can turn those strengths into struggles. Don't go away. We'll be right back on the other side of this break.
Father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Who holds the orphan, comforts the widow, cries for injustice, feels every sorrow, carries the pain of his children? Jesus does.
So we sing
praise to the Father who gave us the Son.
Praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from who I was. 'Cause that's what Jesus does.
Welcome back, friends. That is Jesus Does by We the Kingdom. And that is what Jesus does. He understands our hearts. He understands our struggles because he told us, in this world, we will have trouble, but we can take heart because God has overcome the world. Now, all of us are going to face struggles as a family, but I'm here today to talk to you about how to turn those struggles into strengths, recognizing that God has equipped you uniquely to go through what you're going through. And instead of focusing on what you don't have, on what you wish that you could change, focus on what you do have. This perspective shift really helps your kids to transition from developing toxic stress that impacts their physical, emotional, and mental health for their lifetime into healthy stress that helps them to develop resilience. Now, we're all going to mess up. So if you're thinking, oh my goodness, have I given my kids toxic stress? It is never too late to start over. And I think that's part of God's grace, is building into childhood some of that resilience. Their brains are still neuroplastic, which means that when we mess up, we have the opportunity to go back and to make it right. Now, I've been talking about some of the strengths that some families have when you're facing tough times. One of the strengths that families can have is a family who practices gratitude together. Now, you've heard me talk about vitamin G before. It is that powerful. It has so many health benefits. So looking at gratitude, even in the midst of trial, is really powerful. Studies have shown that gratitude can reduce stress and improve overall well-being. It shifts your focus from that negative experience to a positive one. So how are you as a family pivoting to gratitude, even when so many things are so difficult? So it's important to have that healthy emotional expression. Let your kids say all of the things that they're frustrated about, all of the things that they wish were different, all of the things you wish that you had. But if you can try to translate those into an attitude of gratitude, this is a building block for resilience. This is a strength that your family can have in a healthy coping mechanism. So whether that's a jar that you have that you just put things in occasionally, whether that is a journal that you keep, whether that's just a verbal exercise, whether it's a family text message, just say, you know what, we are going through all of this, but one of the things that I'm really grateful for is the fact that we're grateful and we can talk about the things that we do have. And there are so many examples that I can think of, even on this show, where I've talked to people who've seemed like they're in impossible situations and yet they have gratitude. I think about talking to Cindy, who lost her mom and her husband to cancer. I think about Nick Vujicic, who was born without arms or legs and yet is a beacon of hope for people all around the world, speaking to hundreds of millions of people. I think about Kevin, who was born with spinal muscular atrophy and has found gratitude riding around in a backpack on his friend's back. I think of so many other examples, and you can listen to those testimonies. I think that's a really important thing, is having access to those kinds of stories and testimonies. You may hear those at church. You may hear those in stories that you share through books that you read to your children, through podcasts that you listen to, showing that there are other people who face really difficult things and yet find hope. That is a strength that your family can have. That is really, really important. Another really important strength is having supportive relationships. So when your children may be going through something tough, or maybe they even lose a supportive relationship, maybe it's the death of a grandparent, maybe it is a divorce, but they may have other strong, positive relationships with other adults, with other family members in their life, with caregivers, with peers. Those relationships do provide emotional support. They do provide guidance. They do provide a sense of belonging. And I think in my family of so many times where we've gone through tough things, and I'll say, I'm so grateful that we have this extended family who has been there for us, who will show up in everything, who will be there. And somehow that makes that burden seem a little less light, a little less heavy. It makes it a little more light. And I think about so many times where my sister-in-laws have dropped everything to come and run, whether I'm taking my husband to the emergency room because he stuck his hand in a blender. More than once, y'all, he's done that. Whether it's something like that, where there's recovery or something more serious. Really appreciate and emphasize those relationships. Nurture those relationships that you have, because those supportive relationships make all the difference in the world. And sometimes it can be hard, because when we're going through a struggle as a family, we think, oh, I don't want anybody to know about this financial struggle we're having. I don't want anyone to know that our marriage is on the rocks. I don't want anyone to know that, you know, we're having this trouble that we're going through. But allowing in those trusted, supported relationships is such a strength, and you miss out on the support that they can provide, whether that's picking up your kids from school, if you're caring for your spouse who is ill, or just being there when you can't be there. Say, you know what? I know I couldn't be there tonight, but I'm so glad that so-and-so was able to be there. And we are a team, and we are here to support you. And so focusing on that, turning that struggle into a strength, creating that open line of communication where kids feel safe expressing their thoughts, and you have friendships that give you support, tangible support that may be a meal, or it may be intangible support like encouragement. That is really, really important. The other thing that you can look at is for kids that have a strength in your family is the opportunity to develop coping skills. That is looking, what coping skills does your family have? What are you really good at? Because there are different families who have different coping mechanisms. So what is that coping mechanism that you have that's really healthy? Is it hitting the gym? Hey, we've got some aggression. Let's go do a workout. I can assure you that is not my strength for sure. And I can focus on that, but I can say, you know what? That's not my strength, but my strength is open communication. Hey, I'm somebody that you can talk to. I'm somebody that you can express your feelings to, and I'll sit here and work that out with you. Is it gratitude? Is it prayer? Is it, what is the healthy coping skill that you have that your family is really, really good at? Another strength that you can think about for coping skills even is leveraging the strengths of your family. So think about your spouse right now. Just think about your spouse. If you're not married, think about your child. Think about some person who's closest to you in your life. I want you to think about that person who is really close. And I want you to think, what is their greatest strength in your relationship? What is that thing that they bring to the table that is just amazing? Something that you absolutely love about them. If you can't name that strength in about 10 or 15 seconds, they probably can't either. It's so important for us to edify and affirm that strength in each other. I've shared these examples before, but I'll share them again. I think about, this is something I was really convicted about in my own family, and I think about my children. My oldest is exceptional at hospitality. And when we are going through something tough, I can launch her to leverage that strength and help turn that whoever is in our family experiencing a struggle to see it through the lens of her strength. So how would you feel if you were having a particularly hard day and you came home and you saw your bed was perfectly made and you had a little chocolate on your pillow and maybe some flowers beside it, or maybe your favorite treat and a note that told you how amazing you were? That is a way to use your kids' strengths to meet a struggle in your family. I think about my youngest. My youngest is the proverbial youngest. He is absolutely hilarious. So sometimes things are really heavy in our family. We need to laugh. So maybe there's going to be a reenactment of Ben-Hur with an office chair that becomes a chariot. And maybe we're going to all laugh and it's so silly and it's so, you know, crazy. But that is what we need. What are ways that you can leverage those strengths and say, hey, here's a way that you can serve our family right now with your particular strength that God has gifted you with? It is so empowering to be able to do that. As we're closing our time together, I want to give you four questions that you can use to talk to your kids about that tough thing that you're going through. You can ask them these four questions because having open communication is so important. You can ask them, what have you heard? What do you know about this situation? Maybe you've never had a direct conversation with them about it, or maybe you've had some conversations that are just coincidental, but not intentional. Go to them and say, tell me what you know about this. Tell me what you see. Tell me what you've heard, and get their perspective and really listen. Listen with your face. And then ask them, how do you feel about it? Tell me all of your emotions that you're having. And then resist the urge to correct them, to tell them, you know, how to feel, how they shouldn't feel. Resist the urge to panic because you think, oh, they're sad and I didn't know they're sad. Just ask them how they feel about it and help them to name and claim that emotion. So the first one, what have you heard? How do you feel? Number three, what can I do to support you? It may be appropriate to ask, what can I do to make you feel safe? If they're feeling unsafe in a situation, what can I do to support you right now? And then just listen. They may not know what you can do right then in that moment, but most of the time, kids actually do know. They'll say, well, what I need you to do is I need more time with you. I need you to stop fighting so much. I need you to stop being so worried. I need you to put your phone down. I need you to sit at the dinner table. I need you to come to my game. Many times, if they feel safe, they know exactly what they need from you. And if they have the courage to ask it, it can be really empowering. The fourth question that you can ask, what do you think you could do to help in this situation? Because again, we underestimate the power of kids to respond in a situation. There are things that they can do, that they can rise up and help in. And let me give you an example of a conversation that I had when my kids were experiencing the tragedy that was a school shooting in our community. I'll give you an example of talking with my son and using these questions because I asked him, what have you heard about it? Now, my son didn't have a phone. He didn't have social media. He didn't have any of that. He was at school, but he had already heard about it and he knew quite a bit. And honestly, he knew way more details than I wish that he had known, but he told me everything that he knew and that he had heard about it. I asked him, I said, how do you feel about this? And he told me something I really didn't know. He said that he had had different teachers and the different teachers had different responses. One told them, don't worry, that will never happen here. One told them, hey, don't worry, we have a school resource officer that will help us and keep you safe. And another one said, don't worry, I bought all of these things on Amazon that we can barricade our door. Now, all of those were ways that the teachers were working to try to make them safe. But looking at the way that he was trying to interpret those messages, I could see how it might be really difficult. And how do we talk about those things and put all of those together and do that? And I said, what can I do to help support you or make you feel safe? And you know, he told me that the kids at lunch were shopping for bulletproof backpacks. And should he get one? He didn't know. Now, again, I think if I just had an open-ended conversation or just said, hey, you might have heard this, this is what you can think, come talk to me, I wouldn't have learned all of that information that I learned. But I did learn that. And when I said, what do you think you could do to help someone? He knew about it because I had been responding. I was working in a community regional hospital at the time. I took care of some of those kids. And he said, well, you took care of some of the kids who were hurt, right? And I said, yes, I did. And he said, well, could I make them a card? Could you take it with them? Let me tell you, to have a card from a stranger, someone saying, I am thinking about you. I am praying for you. I am cheering for you. That was something I couldn't have done. So I encourage you again to turn those strengths into struggles. Start by having some open conversation in your house. Ask your family, what have you heard about this struggle we're going through? How do you feel about it? What can we do to help support you? And what can you do to help support us? And then look at those strengths. Maybe you need to even write those all out on a poster board and say, these are the strengths that our family has. We, and whatever that may be, whether that those are tangible supports, whether those are intangible supports, whether those are ways that God has gifted the personalities of your family, or things that you have, list all of your strengths. And when you are tempted to just focus on the struggle, re-pivot and look back at that strength and give thanks to God who gave you the strength that you needed to meet the moment. He sees you, He knows you, He cares infinitely. And maybe that struggle won't go away right away, but you can have those building blocks for resilience in the middle of it. Listen, that is our message for you today. I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you, and that He will be gracious to you as you work to translate those struggles into strengths. We'll see you right here next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.